Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
We make a lot of mistakes. God will take our mistakes and form Himself in us if we react rightly.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about the fruit of the Spirit. This message was recorded at a conference in 2007. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, the fruit of the Spirit.
The enabling that comes only from the power of God. The older you get in life, the more you kind of realize that you cannot live what you ought to do. You cannot do what you ought to do and live how you ought to live without the power of the Holy Spirit in the life. Circumstances you will face will be far beyond anything you can cope with in life. You say, I can handle. When you're young and strong, you think you can handle just about anything that comes along. But you realize how weak you really are when you get in a pressure cooker situation that just is very, very difficult. We'll look at the fruit. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll see the progression here that Paul is giving. And we talked about the flesh lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And then verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are these. That's erge, the work of the flesh, the outworking of the flesh. Then there's the contrast that comes. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What is the difference between a work and a fruit? What is the difference between the work of the flesh and a fruit of the Spirit? A work is something I do myself on my own. A fruit is something that comes as a result of being hooked up to power source. You go to an apple orchard this time of the year before they start harvesting, and you won't hear the apple saying, I've got to grow today, I've got to grow today, and you see the tree shaking. And what the apple does, as long as there's no hindrance from or flow from the root to the, that apple just hangs there. And it grows, and it grows, and that's John 15. Abide in Him. Abiding in Him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. So there is that abiding. It's a mistake to realize, or a mistake to think that you can work the fruit of the Spirit. You can't. The work of the flesh leaves holes in walls. The fruit of the Spirit leaves you resting. I can't believe that I have such freedom. What happens? It's no longer your flesh battle. It is the Holy Spirit victory. One thing we have to realize is the battle is fought and the victory is won. We have to avail ourselves of the fruit of that victory. And that comes through obedience. So when we start looking at the fruit that must be evident, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These all have to do with our relationships. Love, joy, peace. All show my God relationship. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, that manifestation to others. Faithfulness, meekness, temperance, all have to do with the inner qualities that must be in the life. Say, well, I want these in my life. These are a pattern and these are a picture of what I ought to be as a believer. What if they're absent? What if there is not love? What if there is not joy? What if there is not peace? How do you know that? How can you tell? You say, yes, we're functioning as a family. Yes, we're trying to get fellowship together as a family. But we don't really have any fruit. We have no fruit of love. There's certainly no fruit of joy. There's certainly no fruit of peace. No fruit of patience. No fruit of gentleness. No fruit of goodness. But most of the time we think that we have these things. wouldn't we generally consider ourselves to be loving people? Don't we generally consider ourselves to be patient people? And if I came up to you and said, do you love? I'll say, well, yes, I do. Do you have joy? Well, I think I do at times. Peace, generally. Long-suffering. I guess. But really, what determines whether or not this fruit is in our life or not? The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it's established that I am to be thankful for everything. I am to be a contented person. One of the greatest signs of godliness to me is contentment. Is a person contented? Is he satisfied? Now, how do I know if I have this fruit in my life, or how do I know if I'm missing some of this fruit in my life? What if I'm going on, I'm saved, I go to church regularly, I sit in the pew regularly, I even write a check to tithe regularly. I am a visible, faithful member of a church. Thinking that everything is right in your life, thinking that the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in your life, how will you know if there is fruit missing? God needs to be manifested in your life by how you act, but also by how you react. Action is guarded and planned. Reaction happens as a result of what you are. Most of us have guarded actions for reputation's sake, but reactions come as a result of what we are internally. So you can't plan a reaction. A reaction happens because of what you are. But you can plan an action. You can plan what you're going to do for visibility's sake. So my purpose is to glorify God. In glorifying God, I give people a proper opinion of what the character of God is like by my actions and reactions. That happens as I conform to Christ. Conformity to Christ, in a practical sense, is manifested as I reflect what? Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. We have to realize this. God wants me to be like Him more than He wants things going right for me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you to be conformed to Christ more than He wants situations to be right for you? Yes, I believe that. What does the flesh want? Easy going. No resistance, no problem, no pressure. Because when things are going well, I can be a rejoicing believer. Oh, but how do you suffer? A good test of your rejoicing is how you suffer, not how you react when things are going well. It's easy to praise God when you have a full stomach and you have a nice family and you have a nice automobile and you have and no problems ever come into life. It's easy to be a rejoicing person then, or it's easy to be a happy person. Not necessarily a joyful person. It's easy to be a happy. A lot of happy people are not joyful, and there are a lot of joyful people who are unhappy. You say, that doesn't make any sense. I know, I'm kind of tired and it's early. But I think you'll understand what I mean as you go. There are a lot of joyful people who are not happy, and there are a lot of happy people who are not joyful. Because happiness depends upon happenings going your way. Joy depends upon your relationship to God. And you can be very unhappy with a circumstance in life, but extremely joyful because your anchor is in Christ, not in that circumstance. So you're unhappy with the circumstance, but you're joyful in Him. There are some people who are extremely happy, but yet they don't really have any inner joy. They're happy, because they really are prospering and they're happy because things are going their way, but they're not joyful because they don't find that soul feeding and the richness of life in meditation and intimacy with God. Not joyful, they're just happy. And the minute one thing goes wrong, happiness goes down the tubes and the lack of joy quickly will manifest itself. And they'll run to another tangible situation as quickly as they can to find joy and peace. I think we have to see what is the purpose. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God? Even your sanctification. What is sanctification? Manifestation of the filling of the Holy Spirit in the life. The will of God for me is that I be filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, everything that comes into my life, I thank God for it, because that situation or that person is a mirror to me of what I'm missing of the fruit of the Spirit. When the potter is trying to shape the vessel and he feels a lump, can't make a right-looking vessel. He feels that lump. That lump may be lack of love. God said, the only way I can show that person that lacks love is put someone across his pathway that drives him bonkers. You don't normally have to go out and advertise for one. There are normally enough floating around that it just will happen. And you say, God, why did I react to that person? Start your checklist. God, is it love I'm lacking? And I'd take this sheet and I would go. I used to go off, get off in the corner of a restaurant by myself, and I'd go through my checklist. And I'd say, God, just show me. God, I want more than anything else, God, I want to be conformed to Christ. And God, more than anything else, I don't care if situations go my way. I really don't care if I'm liked. But God, if I'm lacking love, that's making it impossible for you to be seen through me. And God, if it takes rejection of an entire body of people to make me realize that I have to let you love through me, then God, thank you for those people. And talk about a freedom. It's a humbling thing to realize you have plastic fruit. Plastic fruit looks good for decoration. You dust it once in a while, and from a distance, it looks edible. But don't try to sink your teeth in it. You'll end up having to go and get your teeth worked on. Plastic fruit doesn't go very far in nourishing hungry people. Say, then you mean you'd rather have the fruit of love in your life than have everyone like you? Really, yes. You will find the greatest help in life, the greatest helpers in life, do not come from those who would constantly praise, but from those who would cause often resistance. And so, do you love? Do you love your mate? Say, well, what if a difficulty came in the marriage relationship? In everything give thanks, because God might be showing you, you really never had love to begin with. That's why difficulties in marriage are not the ending of a relationship, but the refreshing new beginning of a relationship. You know, it's a shame we go through difficult circumstances before God makes us focus to Him. Why does God do that? Because God hates me? No. God loves me so much, He knows what is best for me, and He knows that a terrible trial and a terrible difficulty might be the thing that'll cause me to realize what real values really are. You say, God, I hunger. I long to be conformed to Christ. God, I long to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in my life. What about joy? Do you have joy? I think so. Well, what about a circumstance that comes along then? Maybe God will send a circumstance through your life. You say, I don't ever want things to go wrong in my life. You say, God, I'm going to be real, real good. And God, if I'm real good, will you promise that you'll never try me or test me? God doesn't work bargains. You ought to be good. You ought to obey God just because it's commanded to love Him. But say, well, I'd sure like to do some things, but, you know, I sort of had this deal with God, and God says, you might say, God, you let come into my life what you know is going to be best to make me to be more like Christ. You don't know what that might be. Most of us need far more maturing than we have. Most of us cannot mature beyond where we are without some test or some resistance or some rejection or some type of trial that would come into our life. Most of us can never mature beyond where we are. And the things that God sends into our life becomes points of resentment more than points of rejoicing. In everything give thanks. My first option is to thank God. That's number one. God wants to use situations in life to make me better. The devil wants to take situations in life to make me bitter. And that, how you react, is going to determine what your level of joy is. Because God takes the word and He works that word through your spirit. And that spirit, with the word, settles the mind. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. You'll never reason your way through some bitter situations. You have to trust your way through some bitter situations. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If I say, God, why? I am assuming that God has wrongly functioned in a given area. God doesn't make mistakes, nor does He allow mistakes. Does He give mistakes in the formation of His character in us? We make a lot of mistakes. God will take our mistakes and form Himself in us if we react rightly. Is it why or is it thank you? That's the difference between being bitter or better. And some days you vacillate between the two. One day it's thanks, next day it's why. And we have to come to realize the pattern that Christ wants for us and the pattern that He has for us in life. And you don't know what the next phone call is going to bring. You just never know. You say, God, be glorified. Let my actions and reaction manifest your love. Let Christ be seen in me. What situation are you facing in life? You say, I just wish it were not there. What pressure? What job decision? What lack? You say, well, I don't have enough. I lack things. Maybe it's long suffering. Ever have God bring things into your life to test your patience? I mean, this goes from big things to little things. You know what God does? God shows me that I'm not reflecting the character of God in these areas. You say, I mean, you still have problem like that? Every week, there's something that comes. Sometimes every day, there's something that tests your patience. Every week, it's a different angle, it's a different trial, and because the battle will never stop till we're with Him. Don't look for it to stop. If you're in no struggle, no strife, no conflict at all, you better ask, are you even moving? But long-suffering, God brings things into the life. The patience. Are you patient? Because long-suffering is one of the characteristics of God. You get patient. I used to be a tremendously patient person. You know why? Because nothing ever went wrong. Hey, no problem, no biggie.
wife told me a couple of years ago, said, you've gone through a total personality change. And I have in some ways. Because I've shown impatience in areas that I never... There was a dormant situation, just needed to water that a little bit for that dormancy to grow. You see, I had to go back to the checklist, say, okay, God, what are you forming in me? Gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, these are all areas. Have you ever thanked God for a habit you can't break? You say, what do you mean? Wrong habits, it's against the will of God. You realize that that habit is showing you, is God's mirror to you, that you can't live without Him. You can't work victory. Victory is already won. You have to have it as a fruit in your life. This is the pattern God is perfecting. Here is the problem God is correcting. Maybe you're selfish. Hey, if you're a selfish person, fasten your seatbelt. You are in for a ride if you want to be conformed to the image of Christ. Maybe it's fear. Maybe your problem is insecurity. Maybe your problem is pride. Maybe your problem is impatience. You don't know what those problems are. What is God doing in you? Maybe you're discontented. Maybe you're a discontented person. Situations don't improve discontented people. You know what improves discontented people? Attitude of thanksgiving. Adopt this philosophy. Anything better than hell is more than I deserve. Anything better than hell is more than I deserve. Every day I wake up and I'm not in hell, that's more than I deserve. The air, life, sight, hearing, legs, arms. You know what we do? We forget all the good things of God. And we're bitter for what we don't have. That's how Satan worked with Eve. Of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest eat freely. Superabundant, yes. Solitary, no. Satan focused on that solitary no and got Eve thinking that God was keeping something good. That's the fruit. What's missing in your life? Everything you find is a check that's missing. You'll find a circumstance or situation that God brings into your life. And the reason that thing was brought into your life was to bring you in greater conformity to Him. You know why? Because God loves you. Remember, everything God does on your behalf is motivated because He loves you. Very unlike human parents. Very unlike human relationships. Because some things you do in relationships, you do not because you love, but because you're bitter. God never does something to me because He's bitter. Everything God does to me on my behalf is because He loves me, including chastening. Hebrews 12 said yes. For whom the Father loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Let God be glorified. And let Christ be manifested in your actions as well as in your reactions. All for God's glory and for others' good. There is no law that can change. No law that can condemn the fruit of the Spirit that is manifested in your lives. And think of a situation today. Concentrate today on an attitude of gratitude. Concentrate today on saying thank you. One of the greatest things I've ever seen work in healing bitter relationships in families, especially in situations where children have gotten saved and mom and dad are still unsaved, or children have gotten sold out to God and mom and dad are still perhaps carnal. You know what parents begin to assume when kids start preaching to them? They don't need me anymore. I've done wrong all my life. Now they're preaching to me. Letters of gratitude are keys that open locked hearts. I've recommended writing letters of gratitude to parents, because here's what happens. The boy gets saved and gets married and starts having children. I say, man, I can't let grandma and grandpa want the kid to stay overnight. Can't let the kid stay at grandpa's overnight. You know why? Because grandpa smokes. And then it's pick, 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 pick. Pick, pick, pick. Criticize, pick, criticize, pick. How you spend your money. How you do this. What are you doing this? Why didn't you get a better job? Letter of gratitude goes out to son, said, Dad, I just want you to know you taught me some tremendous things. One, you taught me how to work. Number two, you taught me values. You taught me this. And Dad, I just don't ever want you to think that I just have taken for granted everything you've done for me. The older I get, the more I realize how much you really gave to me. Just like one major door is unlocked. Next time you see that person face to face, there's an openness that was not there ever before since you became a Christian. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. Good time to do this at Thanksgiving. We used to have a family tradition. We haven't done it lately. But that family tradition, every Thanksgiving, we used to spend the morning writing thank you letters before any turkey, before any potatoes, before any television went on for bowl games. We used to write thank you letters to people who had been a blessing to us in the past and we'd never taken time to thank in person or in writing. Could be a phone call or it could be a letter. A letter of thanks for the investment of lives, of their lives into your lives. It might be a big step to healing. God wants you to be conformed to Him more than He wants circumstances right in your life. And if you're facing difficult circumstances, they are only God's loving pressures to shape you into His image. Don't let the world pour you into its mold. Be not conformed with this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove it is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on the fruit of the Spirit. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.